can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible.
Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media, at Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms. He's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up, at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution. True emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic 3-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment. So the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show.
That was the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, from an interview he did on this, the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show in the fall of 2022. My name's Andy Z. I'm a host of the show.
And I'm Annie Day, and I'm very glad to be here today.
And what you just heard, that we can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to determine the destiny of humanity, is what this show is about, an actual revolution for a radically new and fundamentally different world.
And we base ourselves on the new communism developed by Bob Avakian, somebody who recognizes that it is a scientific fact that the world could be a whole different way. On today's show, We're going to talk about the horror of the situation in Gaza. And you're going to hear directly from Bob Avakian about why this happens. Why are there these wars for empire, these armies of occupation and crimes against humanity?
Yes, and then we're going to talk about a call that we're putting out very soon for Revolution Summer 2024. And we're going to talk about that in relationship to July 4th.
To start the show, we're going to hear an interview that Andy just did with Alan Goodman, a correspondent for RevCom.us Revolution newspaper. On Sunday night in the city of Rafah, in a displaced persons camp that was supposed to be a safe zone, Israel dropped missiles, U.S.-made missiles, on people in tents that led to a fiery inferno. It led to beheaded babies, and it led to images that will mark the conscience of all of society. Let's hear from Alan and Andy talking about this horror and what it's part of.
Overnight, fire and horror in Rafah. An Israeli airstrike at a camp for displaced civilians, setting tents and cars aflame. Fire crews in Hamas-run Gaza say at least 40 people were killed, many of them women and children. One of the deadliest bombings in Rafah of the entire war. The Red Crescent says it happened in a designated safe zone.
The attack triggered global outrage. Horrifying scenes of bodies burned and mutilated beyond recognition.
Alan Goodman, welcome back to the Revolution Nothing Less show.
Thanks. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
Well, your dispatches every week on the situation in Gaza overall and on the West Bank, the genocide being committed by Israel with the full backing of the United States, they're very important. And I want to encourage our viewers to go back and see the previous segments. Last week, you spoke about this Israeli-created famine, a man-made famine, almost unprecedented kind of event. It's quite horrific. And we warned of the possibility of an invasion of Rafah. And now that has occurred on a really horrific basis. I wonder if you could talk first about what happened this past Sunday that's really dominated a lot of the news of the situation in Gaza, and rightly so.
Yeah, if you've been following the news, you've seen literally hellish images of fire, thick black smoke in the air. And I want to talk a little bit about the human victims who were killed in that Israeli missile attack, and including people who were burned alive. And again, this is just really hellish. I was reading Al Jazeera had a reporter in the hospital, the Kuwaiti specialty hospital in Rafah, where people were taken. And let's just make a point here as I share this experience. That hospital has now been shut down. It's not operative in Rafah anymore by Israel. But Al Jazeera described the scene in the hospital. I have to share a little of this. A little girl in pink pajamas is settled on a bloodied bed in the hospital, her face bewildered as she blinks repeatedly. Shrapnel from this U.S.-made missile tore a gaping wound in her torso, which was hastily bandaged when she first came to the hospital. And medics were at the time Al Jazeera was there, were trying to decide frantically whether or not to remove some of the gauze and treat her further. Her parents hovered around holding their two other young children. Nearby, a girl dressed in a blood-soaked red hoodie is shrieking and shuddering in pain as a medic tries in vain to find a vein in her emaciated arm. And Andy, you referenced this last week. We talked about how famine and starvation are so widespread that people who normally could be operated on fairly routinely to just stitch together a wound, They can't do that because they're so unnourished that they can't repair, their bodies can't repair. So when they're injured in these bombs, they can't literally be sewn back together. Moving on, a few beds over, a toddler, her hair matted with blood, breathes in and out of consciousness as doctors hurriedly stitch her head. She is heaving deeply, intermittently, letting out a small cry, and nearby, medics carry the lifeless body of a little boy wearing shorts and a matching blood-soaked t-shirt to where he will be shrouded in a white cloth for burial, while an elderly man kneels by the bed and beats his head against the bed in despair. These are people for whom Israel and the U.S., you know, they've said it. They've said that the Palestinian people are not human, and that's what's happening. And I, you know, readers who follow our coverage at revcom.us will see in this week's article, Biden was just outraged that the International Court of Justice considers things like this war crimes. And Kamala Harris claimed this was tragic. This was not tragic. This was a crime against humanity, literally made in USA. The bomb was made in the United States in Colorado. The New York Times and other major mainstream news sources even got a serial number and the manufacturer's name on the bomb. And, you know, Biden has been claiming that he's, you know, holding Israel back. And if they're going to go into Rafah, it has to be very precise, very, you know, limited. Here's a quote from Secretary of State Antony Blinken about the bomb that set off this horrific firestorm. He called it, and this is a quote, a limited, focused, targeted attack by Israel. When you hear Biden and Blinken and the rest of them saying that they are holding Israel back, think about this horrific massacre. A couple other lies that people should be aware of. Israel and the U.S. have said that the warheads that were fired into Rafah were intended to take out two Hamas operatives, and that, again, that these warheads could not have ignited the fire that was sparked by the attack. That's the lie. The New York Times, I think it's today or yesterday, reported that two weapons experts said two things about this bomb that set off this horrific inferno. One, that it was much larger than what would be needed to, if the target was actually two people. And second of all, that there's a high probability that a bomb like this would set off a fire with all the combustible material, people living in tents around.
Alan, what you've been bringing out is so f***ing infuriating and heartrending. And, you know, this particular missile that they use is one that the U.S. has said, oh, you should use this, not the 2,000-pound bombs, because that would be too destructive. But just look at what this did to not just the 45 people who lost their lives, but all the people around and the families itself. I want to talk, though, about this red line. This red line, it's if the Israeli Defense Force does this, then Biden and Blinken have said, then we're gonna do something.
So how does this not violate the red line that the president laid out?
As I said, we don't want to see a major ground operation. We haven't seen that at this point.
How many more charred corpses does he have to see before the president considers a change in policy?
We don't want to see a single more innocent life taken. And I kind of take a little offense at the question. No civilian casualties is the right number of civilian casualties. And this is not something that we've turned a blind eye to, nor has it been something we've ignored or neglected to raise with our Israeli counterparts, including it this weekend as a result of this particular strike. Now, they're investigating it, so let's let them investigate it and see what they come up with.
And they defined that red line as to what would be too much. And so why don't you speak about that? Tell people about what they said the red line was and what they've actually done and what that shows us.
Let me ask you something, Andy. Mm-hmm. If journalists and witnesses in Rafah are reporting that Israeli tanks have seized control of a key intersection in the heart of Rafah, if Israel has sent tanks right up to the Egyptian border and announced that it has occupied the entire, I think it's 8 miles wide at this point, border with Egypt, sealing off the Rafah crossing, which up to now has been the most reliable way that aid has gotten into Rafah and southern Gaza, and has bombed refugees living in tents, killing 45 of them, burning some of them alive. Would you say that's an invasion of Rafah?
Well, that's a tough question, Alan. Yeah, I would say that's an invasion and a genocide, especially when you've evacuated a million people to a city that normally holds 200,000 people. That is a man-made, a conscious decision to incinerate a people, and it's an
Yeah,
invasion.
I think that's very important background. All the people who were driven from all over Gaza into Rafah have now been driven out, which in and of itself constitutes a murderous, horrific crime against humanity by the threat and, and seeing bombs going off. So yes, this is an invasion. And I think your point is that the red line, I think it can safely be said, means there's no crime too great that Israel commits against the Palestinian people that will sever, as Biden put it, the U.S. rock solid support for Israel. So that each crime then extends, oh yeah, like you were saying, well, we're going to do something about it if they do this, if they do that, if they invade Rafah, which has been seen as just accurately as a whole other escalation of the genocidal horror, and it's happening, and he's not doing anything. So
Yeah,
there you
it
go.
is that schoolyard thing. Well, this time I really mean it. But the fact is that, as you've brought out on this show, and we've brought out, and Bob Avakian has brought this out in his social media, that the U.S. imperialists depend on Israel to be the gendarme, to be the police dog, to be the attack dog in the Middle East, and that Israel is an existential, from their perspective, they have to wipe out and commit this genocide against the Palestinian people. And the fact that this red line keeps moving to a place that's never going to exist is even having now to be taken up by some of these columnists who have been defending Israel, such as Bret Stephens in the New York Times, who has written, "Well, let's get real. If you want to win a war, you got to commit these kinds of crimes." And it actually details things that the U.S. has done over the years and upholding them.
Yeah, I wanted to add that Nikki Haley, remember the rational alternative to Trump, the one who, the non-fascist supposedly, she was in Israel while all this was going on, and she wrote on one of these bombs, quote unquote, finish them, which I actually believe is what Trump said. So these are the stakes of things here. This is a genocidal slaughter. There's no force in the powers that be that is going to stop this, absent the kind of mass struggle that we need.
All right, Alan, before we close today, do you want to give a last comment, an overview of the situation that we're facing?
Well, everything that we've been talking about is taking place in the context of other massacres going on. Just 2 days after the one that we're talking about in Rafah, Israel killed 21 people in Al-Mawasi, which is supposed to be a safe evacuation zone. Hospitals are shutting down, as I mentioned. The World Central Kitchen, again, had to suspend their operations. Famine is spreading. This is an emergency, and I'll just repeat it. I'll repeat the way I closed last week. What we all do has to be commensurate with the horror that's going on and the stakes involved.
Okay, Alan, thank you once again for this contribution to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show.
It's good to be here. Thanks for the work you're doing.
All right.
میدون جنگه اثر رنگی هستی بیا که بدون تو یه خونه لنگه میدون جنگه بیا که وقت تاختن تو دل دشمن بدون ترسه میدون جنگه دارا و ندار اثر قوم و تبار مثل فشنگ قطار میدون جنگه تیغه شمشیر عشق شهامت و زین کن و جنس سپر وفا فصل اتحاده مرگ اختلافه افتخاره تکه کنم به هموطن بشم تکه گاهش شروع خروش و طغیان مردمه چشم ساره فصل سمزدائی وسط باز و حزب باد هر تفکری که داری با هر دین و آیین کنارمون بیست سالها کنارت ایستادیم ما نره خشم هزار بی صداییم شورشی کمه ریشه انقلابی داریم عرب و آشوری ارمنی ترکمن مازنی سیستانی و بلوچ و تالش و تاتو آذری کرد و گیلک یور فارسی قشقایی ما اتحاد رودهاییم دریاییم ورزشکار و هنرمند دست فروش تا کاسب از محصل و معلم مهندس تا کارگر میکنیم کرگوش دیکتاتور و با ساز حق زن زندگی آزادی میجنگیم تا پای مرگ شونه به شونه پا به پا دیوار دفاعی باورم به همبستگی مثل ایمان الهی مثل مسخ دین مثل مجنون بی باکسین چاکی میران تومه ی مطیع این بیگانه ها نیست میدون جنگه اثر رنگی هستی بیا که بدون تو یه خونه لنگه میدون جنگه بیا که بخت تاختن تو دل دشمن بدون ترسه میدون جنگه دارا و ندار اثر قوم و تبار مثل فشنگ قطار میدون جنگه تیغه شمشیر عشق شهامت و زین کن و جنس سپر وفا دستای گره تو دست هم جهان تو دست ما.
It's important to say that there have been protests all around the world against this horror. Protests at college campuses, which we've covered, and protests internationally, in particular sparked by what happened with this massacre on Sunday. One thing we want to highlight is some protests that have been going on within Israel itself. On Friday, a pretty significant thing where these protesters heroically went up against what is a tremendously repressive society and protested not just the crimes of their government, but they protested at the U.S. Embassy to call out the genocidal support being given by Joe Biden.
Please give me one visa card from Ukraine to Palestine.
Then we want to show a video of a protest that just happened in response to that tent massacre in Rafah, where Palestinians and Israelis protested together at Hebrew University. And you'll see in this video, in that sea of Israeli flags, they went up against these fascist Israeli Zionists who were chanting, "Go to Gaza, may your village burn."
And we have to be just as serious here. We have to wage a struggle a determined struggle that's commensurate with the responsibility we have in this country that is arming and backing and providing intelligence to the Israeli and diplomatic cover all over the world for this tremendous atrocity that's being done in our name. And this struggle has to get very broad and has to spread to all sections of society. We have to take it to the people who are most oppressed by this system, who are under the heel and the boot of this system. We need to go very broadly, involving people in the struggle, doing actions that make it clear that we refuse to accept this genocide being done in our name. And we need to be uniting broadly with people. And we put forward the slogan, stop the U.S.-Israeli genocide of the Palestinian people now. And this is a basis to unite everybody who can be united who wants to do that. And within that, then, there needs to be a lot of struggle and discussion and debate around what is the fundamental cause of all this injustice and oppression? What is necessary for us to put a stop to it and to uproot it, which is our scientific understanding, as Bob Avakian has said in his 33rd Dispatch Revolution, the social media post which you need to be going to every day, that it is our scientific understanding that all of the injustices, all of the oppression is fundamentally rooted in this system of capitalism, imperialism. And while resistance against this is very important, it will require a revolution to overthrow this system and bring into being a fundamentally different and truly emancipating system in order to actually eliminate and uproot all this injustice and oppression. Now, we're going to show you now a short segment from the beginning of the talk he did in 2018, why we need a revolution and how we could really make a revolution.
Wars of empire, armies of occupation, and crimes against humanity. Raiding and other forms of violent conflict between different peoples can be found going back to early societies long ago. But the emergence of class-divided societies and civilizations based on conquest, slavery, and other forms of exploitation and oppression has for millennia led to wars that have caused death and destruction on a massive scale. This has been especially so once the production and exchange of commodities, things produced for exchange, rather than for direct use by those who produce them, developed on a large scale, and means of transport were developed that enabled commodities to be exchanged and markets for exchange to be actively sought over a large and increasingly expanding territory. Wars were then fought to conquer markets and trade routes, as well as sources of raw materials, and to enslave and exploit conquered peoples. With the development of capitalism over the past several centuries, commodity production and exchange has been greatly extended to become the generalized way in which production and exchange has been carried out. If you think about it, all the things that you use, or almost all of them, you do not make them yourself. You exchange something, namely money, to buy them from some other source, and this is what people all over the world are now doing. This is what capitalism has generalized. And capitalism has more and more tightly bound things together under its domination into an overall world system. But this system of capitalist imperialism is marked by profound divisions between different classes and groups of people within each country, between a small number of capitalist imperialist countries and the countries under the domination of these imperialists, particularly in the third world, that is Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, and divisions between imperialist countries themselves, whose rivalry has revolved to a significant degree around their contention for control of colonies and people to exploit in the third world. And when, for a time in the last century, there were socialist countries, first in the Soviet Union and then also in China, there was a conflict between the imperialist powers and those socialist countries, which the imperialists worked to isolate, suffocate, and destroy. All this led to two world wars in the last century, in which tens of millions of people were killed, including huge numbers of civilians. Since the end of World War II in 1945, the divisions that marked the world within the overall framework of domination by the capitalist imperialist system have led to continual wars. Wars where imperialist powers have unleashed massive violence against people fighting for liberation from imperialism in countries of the Third World, such as the war in Vietnam, where the U.S. slaughtered several million Vietnamese and poisoned much of the soil of that country with chemical weapons. War crimes and crimes against humanity that the U.S. imperialists have continued in all parts of the world, including today, for example, in the Middle Eastern country of Yemen, where because of bombing and other actions by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, backed, armed, and aided by the U.S., 1 million people, including large numbers of children, are suffering and many are dying from the terrible disease cholera. And 8 million people, more than a fourth of the population, are facing starvation. And there are wars between different oppressive forces, including wars where imperialist powers fight each other not directly, but through proxies, such as the war which has devastated Syria over the past several years, where the U.S. and Russia have backed, armed, and aided different factions. While another world war, which especially with the arsenals of nuclear weapons in the hands of the U.S. and Russia, China, and some other countries, could lead to destruction and death on a massive scale, and could even bring about the extinction of the human race, while this has so far been avoided, so long as the capitalist imperialist system continues to dominate the world, and the profound divisions this embodies and enforces continue to exist, the danger remains of a far more devastating war than anything previously endured by humanity. Only through the overthrow of this system, including in its greatest centers of power in the imperialist countries themselves, an overthrow carried out also with the aim of preventing these imperialists from launching an all-out war of annihilation. Only in this way can we advance toward the goal of overcoming the divisions among human beings that embody exploitation and oppression and lead to violent conflict, and finally make a reality of the dreams and aspirations of so many for a world without war.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom, but trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
That was Bob Avakian from Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Could Really Make a Revolution. You can find that film, that talk, on RevCom.us and on our channel. And Annie, we are coming up on July 4th, U.S. Independence Day.
Yeah, the day of celebrating the grotesquery of American empire.
Yeah, and you know, he ends that segment by saying, you know, to get rid of empires and wars of occupation and all the divisions among humanity requires revolution. It requires a revolution to get rid of this system. And that has to be guided by the new communism, which is about the emancipation of all of humanity.
Which is so totally in opposition to the American chauvinism and the celebration of this country with all of their history saturated in the blood of the people of the world. So let's, you know, in light of July 4th, we're going to play a clip from something that was illustrated by the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show last year, an inconvenient but absolutely necessary truth.
An inconvenient but absolutely necessary truth for July 4th. The U.S., founded in slavery, has perpetrated genocide against Native American people. Invaded, occupied, and staged coups throughout the world.
September 11th, 1973, a U.S.-backed coup in Chile led by General Augusto Pinochet ousted Chile's democratically elected president, Salvador Allende.
The CIA has released documents that show its role in the 1953 coup. That is the coup that toppled Iran's democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. Shortly after his election, the CIA began to plan his overthrow.
Dropped nuclear bombs.
This is Hiroshima. The day after the atom bomb exploded, 30% of the city's population was killed.
Napalmed farming villages. Trained legions of baby-killing death squads. Assassinated leaders they didn't like.
Patrice Lumumba became the Congo's first prime minister after it gained independence in 1960. But he was only in office for a few months, which led to him being ousted in a coup, imprisoned, tortured, and later executed.
Terrorized wedding parties with drone bombings.
We were having a traditional marriage ceremony. One of the missiles hit the car was totally burned. Blood was everywhere, and the people killed and injured were scattered everywhere.
And now, they are bringing humanity closer to the brink of catastrophic, even nuclear war, with their imperialist rivals in Russia and China. And they've lied about every bit of this in the name of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Now keep those images in your head and keep that inconvenient truth in your head. and carefully listen to this piece that appeared on RevCom.us last summer called Allegiance, and think about where you stand in relationship to all that you've just seen and what the comrades who are going to be reading this are saying.
Allegiance. Allegiance. No to this republic of the so-called United States of America, with its blood-soaked red, white, and blue rag, and the system for which it stands, the economic and political system of capitalism imperialism.
A republic whose national anthem was written by a slave owner. Oh, say, can you see all the slavery? A republic deeply divided under the rule of oppressors, with liberty and justice denied. A republic founded on slavery and genocidal robbery, keeping millions of black people in chains for generations, killing off huge numbers of Native Americans and stealing their land, waging a war that ripped off half of Mexico, greatly expanding slavery.
A system that from the start and down to today has been grounded in heartless exploitation, using and abusing masses of people to create wealth for the few, with violent white supremacy, male supremacy, and gender oppression built into and enforced by this system, plundering people in all parts of the world, destroying the environment, and waging unjust war after war, even to the point of threatening the very existence of humanity, killing off hope for a decent future or any future at all.
Yes, to a radically different republic and much better system, a new socialist republic, a system which will move to abolish and uproot all this madness and give the highest expression to people's humanity and a future corresponding to people's highest aspirations.
To people everywhere, in every part of society, the cause we should be dedicated to and the allegiance we should hold is represented not by the U.S. Constitution, a document written by and serving the interests of slave-owning and capitalist exploiters from the founding of this country down to today, a document that elevates property and the right to enslave and exploit above and against the life and liberty of billions of people here and throughout the world. A document that for nearly 100 years institutionalized owning black people as property. A document that has been repeatedly used and is used today to legalize inequality, injustice, and oppression, with whole groups of people treated as second class and less than fully human. We can do much better than this.
The cause we need to be dedicated to is revolution. To abolish and uproot this system we are now forced to live under and bring into being a new system based on the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America, which provides a sweeping vision, a firm foundation, and concrete blueprint for a radically different and emancipating society and world, with the abolition of all inequality, oppression, and exploitation.
We are the RevComs, revolutionary communists,
working every day for the revolution that is urgently needed to bring down this system of capitalism imperialism and bring into being a fundamentally different and far better system, working to spread this revolution everywhere, organizing thousands and then millions into the ranks of this revolution so that there is a real chance to win.
To people everywhere,
in every part of society,
join us as revolutionary emancipators of humanity,
not murderous enforcers or mindless accomplices of the injustice, degradation,
and devastation of this system of capitalism imperialism.
And its terrible consequences for humanity.
A challenge. If anyone wants to claim that what we have said here is not right, then let them have the courage to put that on the line, directly up against us and the knowledge we are bringing. And it will become even more clear that what we say is the truth, a powerful truth that people need to know about and take up.
Board walls. I heard a young girl calling, Daddy, they have taken you away. Now they run us from our land, chasing with an iron hand. Now amongst the lifeless bodies you lay, low lie the fields of Palestine, where once they watched the small free birds fly. Their love was on the wing. They had dreams and songs to sing, but so lonely round the fields of Palestine. My lonely border
wall. Annie, that was a powerful reading that you did with Noche Diaz and Joe Veal of Allegiance, and it's really right on time for July 4th, especially this year. We are planning this summer when, as we've talked about on this show, revolution has become more possible. A summer, a revolution summer 2024. It's really important that we're putting that on the show today in preparation for starting right now, going up to first July 4th.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that challenge at the very time when the actual reality of this country is being laid bare in every bomb that gets dropped on the people of Gaza, in the babies being torn apart that people are watching in front of their eyes, that the actual challenge to people about where they're going to stand, not just that, yes, to come to hate what this country does and has been in its whole history, but actually to change where they are standing in terms of where their allegiance lies.
And so this is going to be a summer where we're going to have a lot of discussion, a lot of debate about the problem and the solution. But we're going to be taking revolution out to the masses of people. And we're going to be doing things in July 4th weekend. July 4th is on a Thursday. Well, maybe we'll start it on Wednesday. We'll have 5 days to really get out big time around Gaza and in preparation for a whole summer, including that there's going to be significant protests, which the RevComs are going to go to at the Democratic National Convention on August 19th.
Yeah, with the eyes on the world, the eyes of the whole world on Chicago, there needs to be a serious challenge to this empire, a serious, very broad mass outrage and opposition to this genocide that's taking place in Gaza, with the mass demand shaking the whole country and the world to stop the U.S.-Israeli genocidal slaughter of the Palestinian people. And there needs to be a very powerful force within that is pointing people to the need for an actual revolution. And like you're saying, the potential for that. I think it'd be a good, we want to play a clip from a comedian who talked about the contradiction that the choices that this system is proffering are Genocide Joe and MAGA fascist Trump.
A lot of people want the Democrats to lose, understandably. A lot of people want the Democrats to be punished and to suffer a historic and humiliating defeat. And white liberals are very tense, right? They're like, is that what you really want? Is that what you really want? You want Trump to come back? You want Trump to win? What I want is for you to not lecture us on how to respond to a genocide you didn't try to stop, okay? You think that's a good idea? You think that's a good idea for your community? Because it's your community that's going to suffer if Trump comes back. People like you are going to suffer. What do you think of that? I think that a political system that ultimately makes you choose between genocidal dementia and cheeseburger-powered fake tan Hitler is a system worth overthrowing. Okay, maybe that is the conclusion you should be coming to instead of lecturing black and brown people on why they don't worship the Democrats, okay?
So that was comedian Amar Rahman, and I really recommend people go to his social media and watch the whole clip that segment is from, where he just rips into what Biden's whole history has been in relationship to the crime bills in the 80s and the 90s that led to just vicious mass incarceration.
We're going to be talking a lot more about Revolution Summer 2024 in upcoming episodes of the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. On Instagram this past week, the Bay Area RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity posted this short video that speaks to this summer.
University, high school, and middle school students, and anyone who gives a damn. Summer 2024, spend it with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. Donate now at revcom.us/donate. You have choices to make this summer. You can focus on self-care. Try to block out all the suffering and oppression. You can focus on your hustle, making it big, or just getting by as the world burns. You can waste away playing video games, getting high, or doing other pointless shit. You can fall into depression and anxiety, thinking there's no way out of this, when in fact there is. You can get trapped in the dead end of trying to reform the system when what we need is a whole new system through revolution. Instead, you can work together with others on a common cause, the emancipation of humanity. Strengthen and grow the protests against the genocide in Palestine. Learn about the new communism and the scientific strategy for revolution in study groups and vibrant discussions. Spread what you learn and the leadership of Bob Avakian to diverse communities as you advance as a revolutionary leader. Take part in physical fitness as part of preparing for real revolution. Create a new, uplifting culture through art, music, events, and more creative forms. If you have the heart and determination to fight for a better world, join the RevCom Corps, Summer 2024.
This is our 198th episode. We're approaching the 200th episode. And it's very important going into this Revolution Summer 2024 and into this whole very decisive year where the future is really hanging in the balance, that this show's audience grows. I want to show you now, and we want to show you to conclude today's show, a 1-minute introduction to the 100th show of the RNL show to close out today's program, and that you can spread that as part of spreading this this program to your friends and winning people to come and be regular watchers of a show. So with that, Annie, I think we're going to say goodnight. Yep. For this, the 198th program.
The first episode.
But there is a way out of all that oppresses people here and around.
Anything else and a final analysis is bullshit.
This is a show about revolution.
The whole damn system!
To get organized for an actual revolution. Break
all the chains!
We have to make a revolution.
George Floyd was murdered.
To protect this planet.
The right to abortion nationwide hangs in the balance.
Nuclear warfare.
The world is running out of time.
What makes the RNL show the most important program on the internet is that we bring the way out of this madness through a real revolution.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
What good is love and peace on earth when it's exclusive? Where's the truth in the written word? If no one reads it, a new day dawning comes without.
We live.
in trouble too.